The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to My Two Cents. My name is Marianne Stanley, and I invite you to look at some of today's most pressing issues through an entirely different lens than that used by the corporate-owned media. Our focus will be on old-time journalism. In other words, on getting to the truth by referencing facts and sources. Stay tuned and see if you've had a hunger that nothing else could satisfy. Until now, that is. I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember the first reading series that we had in school that portrayed police officers as the friendly guy who was there to help make sure you got across the street safely or who you could go to if you were afraid or needed help. But we've come a long way since then, and I think when we compare the police of yesteryear to the police of today, or even the police of, say, 10 years ago to the police of today, it's cause for concern and something that we can take a closer look at. Right now, you seldom see a policeman walking around unarmed, just patrolling a neighborhood, stopping to talk to people who live there, interacting in any friendly, sociable way with citizens. It's much more common now to see them dressed as stormtroopers, where their eyes are covered with sunglasses so you can't see them as a human being relates to another human being eyeball to eyeball. You see them with their shields. You see them with the shield dropped over their face. You see them with the shield in front of their body. You see them with helmets and riot gear, heavy boots. They're carrying guns. They're carrying pepper spray. They're carrying tasers. And they don't seem to be inclined to not use them on the population at large, even if it's against a pregnant woman, an old woman, a young person, or somebody who has a mental disability. We've seen instances of this more frequently as time is going on. I have also heard that the statistics are getting higher as far as citizens being unwilling to cooperate with the police when they're trying to do investigations. My theory is that they're unwilling to cooperate because they no longer see police as a source of their own protection, as a source of civility and upholding of the law. They see them almost as a renegade outfit who can do untold things to them when no one's looking or when they think no one's looking, and they don't like it. And so there's less and less cooperation as time goes along. And it would seem to me that the police forces would be run by people who are wise enough to see that it's time to call off the dogs and return police to the type of people we paid them to be, and that is to be a docile, friendly force that will step in when it's time in order to protect the citizens of this country. We're not their enemy, and yet we're treated like their enemy. Anymore, we can be arrested for not following an instruction, although by law, there is nothing that says we must do what a policeman tells us to do. If a policeman tells you, stop, I want to talk to you, you don't have to stop yet. If you don't stop anymore, they can very easily cart you off and charge you with resisting arrest, or not charge you at all and just place you in lockup. Where these new powers are coming from, I don't know, but I think it's worth taking another look at. There should be no lawful use of force that is unnecessary. There should be no tasering of people who present no clear and present danger of death to them. You can't tell me that a pregnant woman who's speaking to them in a store is any danger and needs to be thrown to the floor on her stomach and tased. You can't tell me that the recent video that shows a woman who's a grandmother in her 70s being yanked from her car and dropped, basically, from the high seat onto her back on the ground because she had been speeding and said she didn't want to get out of her car. breaking the law as far as a traffic offense, such as speeding, is no reason to treat a regular person as a criminal. Maybe criminals need to be handcuffed and led away to jail. Maybe they need to be put behind bars for the safety and protection of the populace at large. But it's always a balancing act between individual freedom and the public good. What public good does it serve to tase or to pepper spray or to club or to handcuff or to arrest a person who has been a law-abiding citizen all their life? When I look at this and I see it happening, I wonder how many other people are outraged to see that our policemen, whom we support, whom we fund, who we employ, are out there creating problems for us instead of solving them. I watched once as a policeman pulled over a young woman and had her stand against her car for a while and then put her hands behind her back, handcuffed her, and led her away to jail, leaving her car by the side of the road. That young woman, by the way, was my daughter who had come to visit and had an expired license. She was pulled over in a mountain community in Arizona. She told me that she had to use the bathroom so badly, but they put her in a cell that was open on all four sides, and there were two policemen, two guys there watching her. And as bad as she had to go, she couldn't because they were there. And she said, I would let my bladder explode and die before I would have gone to the bathroom in front of them. She called in tears saying, they've got me in jail and I can't get out unless I have $350 to post bail. And all for an expired license. She was no threat to society. She was no danger to anyone. She was young and impressionable. And I can tell you from that day on, she has hated the police. And that hatred spreads to the people she knows, to her own children who are growing up today, because you cannot abuse a person without that person really resenting it and passing their stories along to others. So it's really counterproductive and it's counterintuitive that police continue to do this kind of atrocious behavior. She didn't need to be handcuffed. And I watch today on the news when I look at people who are being arrested and they're handcuffed. You have to ask why. Are they a threat? They're a threat against people who are well-armed, who are well-protected, who are in authority and have already scared the person pretty much shitless. They don't need to handcuff the person's hand behind their backs and treat them that way. That is unconstitutional. That isn't respecting the freedom of an individual. A felon isn't the same as someone who commits some small infraction, some misdemeanor. Handcuffs keep a person's arms from reaching out and creating harm, from hurting another. Why would you handcuff someone who has never hurt anyone else and who is simply being arrested for some kind of a petty offense like speeding or not stopping at a red light? That bothers me because nobody seems to understand that handcuffing a person is an extremely disrespectful act. It's an insult to an individual to treat them as though they have to be shackled in some way and led away. Ask them to walk with you, unless they've done something that is really, really harmful or vicious or evil or dangerous. Let them walk with you. Tell them they're under arrest. Tell them you need to take them to the station. Put them in the back of the cruiser, which is already protected by a screen, after patting them down if you have to, and allow them some dignity. There is no human being in the world that doesn't want to be respected for the unique individual that they are. We all should be accorded respect. We all should be given that sense that we have inherent dignity. And when that is done, we become much more respectful towards other people. I think we're seeing a vast misuse of our resources in how the police forces are used. We see pot busts, and the majority of people in this country don't think that smoking pot should be a crime in the first place. It's such a crazy thing. I saw a wonderful cartoon the other day, and it showed a bunch of well-known politicians all doubled over with laughter in the same room, just cracking up. And they said something like, yeah, and we've told them that pot is bad and that pharmaceuticals are good. And that's kind of the way it is. Drugs are out there. Companies are raking in huge profits on drugs that kill many people every year, even the tested ones. Pot, on the other hand, has been shown to be pretty much harmless. and even beneficial for things like glaucoma and cancer, the pain of cancer. And yet we criminalize it, and these people get shut away for years and years, taken away from their families, their neighborhoods, their jobs, their homes. It's crazy. And I think we have to begin to call a spade, and say, this is crazy, this is insane, this needs to stop, we need to stop it now, and let's get together and do something about this. Let's stand up and make our voices heard. We're seeing police do the dirty work of corporations. The Coast Guard stopped environmentalists, stopped local fishermen from getting anywhere near the BP cleanup sites. Why are they not entitled to be there? Why can't they see what's going on? Why are the police or the military standing in the way of the free operation of what's supposed to be a free society? Same thing is happening with Shell in Alaska, where people are not allowed to get close to that site to take pictures and to show the rest of us what is going on. That is the role of an open, honest media. And we don't have an open, honest media anymore. We have a corporate-controlled media. You had all the police arresting the people at Occupy Wall Street. Wall Street people were the criminals, not the protesters. The protesters were peaceful. The protesters weren't doing anything wrong. When they couldn't catch them doing anything wrong, they started planting people within their ranks to create problems so that they could then put that out in the news as though it had been the Occupy Wall Street protesters themselves. And the OWS protesters were there to raise the alarm for the rest of us who couldn't be there to say, this is not acceptable. It is not okay for the wealthy to do what is wrong, to commit criminal acts against all the rest of us, to rob us of our savings, our investments, our retirement, to destroy this country. So we're out here saying, stop it. You need to give the rest of people a chance. The middle class needs to be able to remain in their homes. Students need to be able to afford to go to college without being burdened by amazingly high debt loads. And yet the police barreled in, tore down the camps, basically stole everything that the protesters had in the camps, including material things that were valuable to them, from iPods and iPads to tents. If I had been a lawyer for them, I would charge them. I would have charged them with theft, because it was theft. Just because they wear a badge doesn't mean they can go around stealing things that don't belong to them. I would also charge them with vandalism, because just because they wear a badge doesn't mean they can go around tearing things down, tearing things apart, destroying objects that belong to other people. And maybe charge them with mayhem, because they sent people off in a panic, many of them with their eyes running from the pepper spray for no good reason. No one was under threat. No one was doing anything bad. And again, where is the protest from everybody else? Do we just sit back and take the corporate media view that, oh, these are just dirty, unwashed, disease-ridden troublemakers, radicals, wild-eyed people who are out to destroy us? You have to look behind the scenes. We need to, again, I'll say this again, we need to dig deeper. We need to get to the stories behind the stories we're being fed. We need to get to the facts behind the spun facts that we are getting. Otherwise, we're going to swallow this hook, line, and sinker, and suddenly we're going to be the ones reeled in to the boat, and we'll have no way anymore to stop the travesty that's going on. So I would just hope that everyone is going to pay attention, that we're going to see, with enough of an outcry, the police forces will be reined back into their initial role, which is to be a docile, friendly, armed force that will only take action when they are trying to protect we, the citizens. We, not criminals. We, the people who have borne this country on our shoulders, whose sons and daughters go off to war. We, who only want to be left in peace and to try to stand up for what's right. We who want to be able to exercise our First Amendment rights to free speech, to be able to assemble without being harassed, to be able to redress the government with our grievances. That's not too much to ask. It's only exercising our First Amendment rights. If we can carry guns, we should be able to do the rest without anybody wading into the crowd to beat us bloody and senseless for no reason. I urge you to take a stronger look at this. Pay attention to the stories that are coming out now in the newspapers about the various things that are happening with the increasing number of people who are dying in police custody, the increasing number of videos that we are seeing of how people are treated in police custody when they are beaten, sometimes to the point of having broken limbs or being taken to the hospital when they have no way to protect themselves and there are no public eyes viewing this. It's time we take a stand. It's time we say, you guys, you are supposed to be better than that. We are supposed to be able to count on you to protect us and to be someone that we can look up to and tell our children to look up to. So that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Your feedback is always welcome. Just email us at shout@theflypod.com. Until next time, this has been My Two Cents with Marianne Stanley.